You're listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century, the podcast from Unity San Francisco that explores modern spiritual teachings and provides insight into how to apply them in your life. This is Reverend Ken Daigle. Today's talk was recorded live at Unity San Francisco. Enjoy.
So I chose that song because I think that song is the perfect intro to the Divine Feminine. I'm pulling that lecture move. Been taking public speaking classes. How am I doing? So one of the things about that song, and the reason I chose that song, is because that song can be used to describe and attribute to anyone who has nurtured and cared for you. Anyone. You can go to the biological definition of a mother. You can go to whoever your logical definition of mother is. And that song still works. You were my eyes when I couldn't see. You lifted me up when I couldn't reach. You told me the stars were not out of reach. I am prayerful that everyone had someone who did that for them. And that's why I chose that song. So we're going to talk about the Divine Feminine today. And I got to tell you, I love this picture because she is fierce. Fierce. I want to start with the Sagaru quote. In celebrating Divine Feminine, you will know the beauty of life. So let me start by dispelling a common myth. Mother's Day is not a holiday created by a greeting card company. It is not a commercial ritual. The roots actually go quite a bit deeper. The celebration of Mother's Day and Divine Feminine, the celebration of mothers and the Divine Feminine, actually dates back to ancient Greece and Rome. And there were festivals that were held in the honor of the mother goddesses Rhea and Cybele. Ancient Rome. The earliest U.S. observance dates back to before the Civil War, when Ann Reeves Jarvis organized Mother's Friendship Day in 1868 to teach women how to properly care for their children. And then shortly after her death in 1905, her daughter, Anna, conceived of Mother's Day and lobbied for it as a way of honoring the sacrifices mothers made for their children. President Wilson made it into an official holiday, and it was celebrated for the very first time on Sunday, May 9th, 1914. But it was still several years before the first Mother's Day card was created. So sorry, Hallmark. You're about 60 years late. But it is true, like most of our holidays, the greeting card companies have maximized the institution, right? But I think we need to remember the original intent, to honor the sacrifices that mothers make for their children. So I love the idea of this because I think it's one that transcends relationships. As someone that has given birth, I can tell you that the physical act of birthing another person is a big deal. Requires a lot of sacrifice, so many sacrifices, the simplest of which is control of the outcome. For this reason, I feel that those that create life, masculine, feminine, surrendering control, control of your body, control of the process, control of the outcome, right? Masculine and feminine people who surrender control in favor of nurturing should be honored and are worthy of gratitude. Now, looking at this from a strictly scientific perspective, okay, for the most clinical reason, without that initial surrender of a ovum and sperm, yeah, I said it. He says stuff all the time. I can say it. Without that initial interaction and sacrifice at the moment of surrender, no one would be here. No one in this room would be here. No one online would be here. And I know, I'm going to ask you to bear with me, I know there's triggers around this, around mothers. Hello. Daughter of a textbook narcissist right here, okay? But for this moment, let's just look at the clinical. Let's take that off the table and look solely at the science. So the base scientific truth is that someone created, provided, and sacrificed an ovum for me to be here, for you to be here, and for that I'm grateful. I have an amazing life filled with amazing people because of basic biology. So yes, I am profoundly grateful to the egg donors that made it possible for us all to be here today. I'm glad you're here and my life is richer for having known you. So with that being said, let's hear it for the egg donors. What? Egg donors rock. Now, recognizing that being the bearer of ovum only makes someone a mother from a biological perspective, the ability to mother is inherent in each and every one of us, ovum presence notwithstanding. And that is where we leave the physical limitations of the biological and physiological confines of this lovely human experience. We leave that behind, and we delve into our divine nature and our divine femininity. Rumi has this lovely quote, "Stop acting so small. You are the universe in ecstatic motion." In ecstatic motion. So let's break this down. In unity, we believe that there is only one power and one presence active as the universe and in my life, God, only one. Second to this, we believe that they are divinity, that we are divinity in expression and therefore inherently good. We are God. We are God, folks. Divinity walking and talking in this frail human shell, experiencing these human trials. And we are called to apply our divine nature, stand in our dominion, and elevate the experience of ourselves and others. That's what we're called to do. And to do this, there are a number of attributes that we possess, and among them are masculine and feminine aspects. This quote from Matthew Fox, who's a fairly famous New Thought theologian, "When the sacred masculine is combined with the sacred or divine feminine inside each of us, we create the sacred marriage of compassion and passion in ourselves." Now let's dispel another myth. The divine feminine is not what society says it is. It transcends male and female, and in truth is a state of being of awareness. I love how, this is from Reverend Maria Schuchart at CSL Tucson, and she said, "The divine feminine is grounded in spirituality and respects the connection, represents the connection to that part of consciousness that is responsible for nurturing, intuition, and empathy, regardless of gender. It is the aspect of ourselves that is associated with creation, community, and sensuality in an experiential or felt sense rather than in a thinking sense and collaboration." I'm going to be looking at more of Maria Schuchart because simply put, we all have this inside of us. We all, regardless of gender, can apply our divine femininity to almost any scenario, trust our intuition, and lean into our deep well of empathy at any time. Marianne Williamson, who I know Ken quotes quite regularly, "In all the great religious systems, there are divine beings who represent the feminine face of the divine." There are times in life to push forward, to make things happen, to take a dominating approach, the masculine dynamic. And there are times to expand, to become more, rather than attack or coerce things. The wisdom of the feminine, the most powerful arrangement, is for the feminine aspect of each of us to be in leadership. Divine feminine leadership is essential for the evolution of humanity. I like Reverend Roger. Essential. See, unfortunately, American society has demonized the word feminine and made it synonymous with weakness, frailty, meekness, touting it, meaning trying to sell it, as something that is less than, and making it something that is undesirable to aspire to or to emulate. I personally find that hilarious. See, most Americans who lean heavily into their masculine aspect tend to miss the or dismiss the truth that divine feminine is also strength, courage, resilience, tenacity, and a fierce and unwavering need to protect. Unwavering need to protect. You need only turn to nature. If you look at the animal kingdom, you'll see plenty of examples there, right? In the wild, the female lions are the fiercest. They're the hunters, they're the protectors. They are savage fighters. Not to be trifled with. You see it with bears. Matter of fact, you see it so strongly in bears that humans have adopted mama bear. Oh, she's a mama bear. Which means she's fiercely protective and she's vicious when those under her care are endangered, need protection, or rescue. Mama bear. Now, yeah, see, this is all in wrong order. Now we go back to Marianne Williamson. There are other faith traditions that recognize the power of the divine feminine. Not so much Christianity, but if we look at Eastern faith traditions, they'll honor this aspect. In the Hindu tradition, the divine feminine is recognized by the goddess Shakti. And Shakti represents this primordial cosmic energy, the dynamic forces that are thought to move through the universe. She is responsible for the creation, the maintenance, and the destruction of the universe. She's identified as female because she's a creator, but she's also the destroyer, the feminine aspect. See, without divine feminine energy, nothing in this universe would happen. Those that embody Shakti or divine feminine are creators, protectors, and destroyers imbued with power beyond measure. Let that just sit on that. Just sit in that for a minute. So I want you to think of someone, irrespective of gender, okay? Anyone in your life journey that has embodied their divine benefit to your benefit, the divine feminine to your benefit. Someone that was nurturing, loving, deeply empathetic and radiating love, welcome and joy, just to be in your presence, just to share company, always there with a willing ear, an open heart, and I know in the Black family, a plate of food. Or if there isn't a plate of food ready, there will be one real quick, baby. Just give me a minute. I'm gonna cook something for you. Right? Loving, supportive, unless and until you were endangered, you were at risk. And then they became a warrior, ready to fight for you, ready to defend you, ready to do damage to anyone that had the nerve to dare to cause you pain. Do you have someone in mind? Who will be the first one to pick up their sword and shield and defend you, even in those situations where you might have been in the wrong? Hopefully we can all think of someone, a family friend, a family member, partner, confidant, colleague. And if you can't think of anyone, it's me. I'm that person. I will fight for you. We can connect after service. I got you. I learned the truth about myself as a mama bear, as a nurturer, as a caregiver when I was in the ninth grade and I had seventh graders calling me mama, looking to me for counsel and to beat up that eighth grader that stole their lunch money. I don't like to fight, but I will. I know my truth. My kids do too. My grandkids will soon. But I know my truth. I have no shame in that. I am blessed beyond measure to be a nurturer, to be a caregiver, to be able to share that part of me with the people in my life. And I'm so glad that there are others that will mother and provide support when those cast in the traditional role fall short or are incapable of carrying that burden. So in Black communities, you'll see big mamas. In Latin communities, you'll see tías, papatío. You might see abuelos, abuelitas. You'll see house mothers, queens, honorary aunties and uncles. So many people across all ages, all life experiences, all genders, right? That will mother you, that will fill that hole for you, that will be your eyes when you can't see and lift you up when you can't reach. And they manifest in our lives and make us better just for having known them. So my call to you today is to embrace those moments where the divine feminine in you can manifest and bless somebody around you. Honor your sacred divine feminine. Embody the ability to create, care, and protect life. There is a duality to divinity. Your masculine and your feminine, yin and yang, right and left. You thought I was going to say wrong. And only when we wholly embrace divide, but there really is no divide. We divide it by limiting. We divide it by explaining it and defining it. But the reality is it's all energy. It's all in the prayer field, in divine mind. It's a divine idea. So I ask you to shift your idea of what divine feminine means and embrace the oneness of one power and one presence wholly and completely. Let's take that to this final words from Rumi. Eventually, there you go. You are a volume in the divine book, a mirror to the power that created the universe. Whatever you want, ask it of yourself. Whatever you're looking for can only be found inside of you. What we need manifests as how we can serve. If you feel the need for more divine feminine energy in your life, invoke more divine energy into your life.
Thanks for listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century. I'm Reverend Ken Daigle. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Unity San Francisco and learn more about us at unitysf.com. Spiritual Living for the 21st Century is a production of Unity San Francisco.